Hey, good morning. Welcome back. Our Facebook question today on the Donna and Steve show is, what has your pet stolen or hidden? That'll be fun. We'll get to that coming up at 11:15 today when Bradley Trainer joins the show. I'm so excited.
This is going to be great. Donna, no. You should be excited. Okay. Bradley Trainer's coming in next segment. And he is also going to be, he will be hosting the Throwback Thursday music trivia where Donna is in the hot seat answering questions about music trivia from years gone by.
Yep.
I have seen the questions today, and they're difficult.
Oh,
they're
no, difficult. Really?
I created them, and they're difficult. They are, some weeks I'm like, this is going to be a total breeze. Other times I'm like, you know what? She might have a little difficulty. The good news is you haven't gotten a single question wrong yet in the calendar year of 2020. Will her undefeated streak continue? And I've already heard some people via letters and calls ask, if she gets one wrong today, would it count in the official record book since it is a guest host of the show? I've reached out to the home office in Uzbekistan and waiting to hear back. So
okay. All right. Cool. I'm real excited. 11:15, nice. Coming up to here in just a few minutes. In the meantime...
11:30.
Yes. Sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry,
she was on Uzbekistan time.
Yeah, thank you. And it is very quirky, and not, people are surprised when they find out that we're just 15 minutes off from them. It's really bizarre. Oh,
that's funny. I was just going to see if we could see what time it is in Uzbekistan right now.
Oh, sure we can. Let's figure it out. May
World
as well.
World clock at Uz... I'm going to go straight to it doesn't show up.
No, oh, please. Come on. This has to.
How do you spell it?
What time is it in Uz? Bekaistan?
Yep.
What time is it in Uzbekistan?
Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia. Okay.
9:05 p.m.
Oh, p.m.
Yeah, just so you know, pro tip, you don't even have to go to a world clock. Just type into Google, what time is it in?
Okay.
And then anywhere in the world, it'll tell you.
Okay, so it's 10 hours ahead of us.
If you're listening in Uzbekistan, and who's to say you're not? We have listeners all over, South America,
yep.
China. We haven't heard from Jing Lai in a while.
Weather.
Also, a question for you, if you're listening in Uzbekistan, what's it like there?
These are legit questions. Anyway, we digress.
You love Eugene Levy.
I definitely love him in Sheets Creek.
Well, you will like, there's a full video. Gosh, I think the whole thing is about 10 minutes long. Saw this on Rolling Stone. The Newport Beach Film Festival obviously could not be held in public this year. So the event organizers instead decided to do something kind of fun. And they did this with the help of it broadcast on Pop TV. And they surprised Eugene Levy. They wanted to give him the Lifetime Achievement Award. Okay. And so they thought, we'll do it like kind of via video conference. And then they said, well, we've got a surprise. We're not the only ones who wanted to congratulate you, but there are a couple other friends who also wanted to say a few words. And then it goes into this 10-minute, essentially, tribute video to him from various people. Now, two that you will hear from, including cast members from Bleeps Creek. They're on this as well. But the two that you'll hear from are his longtime pals, Steve Martin and Martin Short, who pop up probably four different times in this tribute video. It keeps bouncing back, which is really cool for the video. It's not like you hear 4 minutes from Martin Short. It's 10 seconds here, 15 here, 8 seconds with this guy, 30 seconds with that girl. Here's Steve Martin and Martin Short toasting Eugene Levy.
But you know, Eugene, you're special because you are a person. You know, I see people all the time on the streets. Sometimes in crowds, sometimes alone. And I think Eugene could be walking down that street. He is a person. He's a person too. And I happen to know that the Newport Beach Film Festival wanted to give this to a person.
He has become this absolute living legend. Eugene, I was telling everyone how you've become this living legend.
It's just, and then it's his son, is it Daniel? Daniel Levy, his son, fellow co-star and co-creator of Bleeps Creek. He is featured throughout. Angela Harris, his former co-star from SCTV. He, Martin Short, Angela Martin, and a few others. John Candy, I believe, for a time, were in SCTV, this Canadian improv sketch comedy group and television show.
I think Catherine O'Hara was also.
Catherine O'Hara, yes. Yes. Yep. And of course, she's opposite him in Bleeps Creek as well. But it's really, it's just sweet and it's fun. And so many people just talk about his kindness and how sweet of a guy he is and how much of a professional he was on set there and just really took the acting. And I think he said, like, we don't want to play this for laughs, Bleeps Creek. He was like, we'll play it as it's written. And he knew that it would result in laughs, but he didn't want to extra ham up everybody's lines all the time to try to hit you over the head with it. Chris Elliott, his Bleeps Creek co-star, appears with the longest, thickest white beard you've ever seen. It puts David Letterman's to shame. It's really something.
All right. Well, on that note... That's great, Steve. Thanks for bringing that. I don't care for Chris Elliott, and I think that guy, I'm kind of like, how does he squeeze into all these shows?
See, I think he's very funny. I think he was a former writer for David Letterman, and I actually got to know him from him showing up on The Late Show, and he would have some very funny bits, because he was a writer, I think, and then would come back after a while and just do some very funny appearances.
I remember him on David Letterman. I didn't think he was good on David Letterman either. Yeah. Like, he lived, like, underneath the stairs of the... right?
That's all of it. That's funny.
It was so stupid. I just don't like his character on Schitt's Creek.
By the way, Donna, I know that you're about to get to something, but in case we run out of time here, I right here...
have my gift?
Have your gift. My daughter just brought it up to my palatial closet studio. And I have it right here in my hand. Oddly enough, Don, I'm going to be in Bloomington. I'm about to drive to Bloomington right now.
Oh, are you stopping by?
No, I'm not going to have time, but you could stop by where I am if you want to pick it up.
Yes, I would love to. Text me.
I'll text you. What do you
have? That'd be great. So I just saw this headline about Jason Derulo, who's super thirsty, and I don't know why, because he really doesn't have to be.
Right.
You know, he was in that Cats movie that came out last year.
Yes.
He played Rum Tum Tugger. He legitimately thought that the movie was going to change the world.
No, he didn't.
In a good way. He says, for the longest time, I was trying to figure out what would be the perfect first role for me. And Cats had checked all the boxes. Oh. And he thought it was going to change the world. He said, even when I saw the trailer, I got chills down my spine. Dude, did we see the same trailer? That was really...
I know, but...
Comical and terrifying.
If you see yourself in it, though, and you're an actor and you're looking for your breakthrough role, and this could put me, you're going to view that through rose-colored glasses, I think.
You're right. I think you're right. You're right.
I know I'm
anyway,
right.
Anyway, just thought that was a funny headline, so I wanted to throw that into our movie talk here. In the meantime, would you like to hear the theatrical version of the Netflix Ta-dum?
Hmm. Yeah.
Okay, here it comes. Great.
Whoa.
Isn't it?
That was exciting. Yeah. I like any of that.
Me too.
That's a Batman vibe to me.
Yes. I agree. Anyway, we don't have time for this, but I came across a list of the best sports movies of all time since we don't have a lot of sports going on right now.
We should save this for tomorrow when I'm back. You know I like sports movies.
Okay, I'll save it for you, but I will link it up. It's already linked up, actually, at mytalk1071.com. Goodbye. We'll see you later.
Bradley Trainer will be coming in. Bless you. Good luck with Throwback Thursday Music Trivia at 11:30, Donna.
Thank you, Steve. I'll give you a full report tomorrow.
I'll text you
about meeting up with you. Also, we're going to get to our Facebook question. That is our survey for today. What has your pet stolen or hidden? We'll get to some of your answers up next on My Talk 1071. Hey, good morning. Welcome back. You're listening to the Donna and Steve Show on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Steve Patterson had to leave a little bit early today, so we are joined by Bradley Trainer from the Colleen and Bradley Show from noon to 3.
Hi.
Hey, Brad. Hi, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me this early in the morning. It's not really that early.
I'm like, isn't it lunchtime already?
I'm already sitting. I mean, I'm usually where I am anyway. So really, you know, it's no skin off my nose, Donna, for you, the world.
Oh, thank you. It is time for this segment we call According to a New Study.
Studies have shown that
several long-term studies have shown
they've studied the studies.
Several scientific studies have shown.
And here with their findings are study buddies.
The perfect nerd couple.
Donna and Steve.
I'm Donna. And he's Bradley.
Hi
filling
there.
Filling in for Steve. Hey, we thought it would be fun.
Do I have to be Steve?
No, please don't.
Okay. I'm going to wear less cologne.
Thank you. You noticed that too, huh?
Well, not anymore, because of course he's not in the building, but when he was, man, you could smell Steve in the hallway.
You could smell him coming from, I don't know.
Like the cafeteria.
You really can, and that's very far and on a different floor, just for listeners understanding.
No, he's always well perfumed.
Yes, he is, and he's proud of it. Anyway, that's not why you called. Here's the deal. We thought we would take a survey of our own today.
Oh.
And since you are a pet owner, and I am a pet owner, we thought it would be fun to find out what your pet has stolen or hidden from you. Has this happened with your little Wheezy at all?
Yes. Although she's not really a big hider-stealer. She is oddly not, she doesn't get into as much, you know, that sort of classic dog trouble where, you know, you show up after a long day at work and everything is in smithereens on the floor.
Yep. Oh, well, that's good. She's just a little gal, right?
Yeah.
What do you got there? What is she?
What do you got there? She is what they call a Cavapoochon, which is a fancy word for mutt. But she is a mix of she's actually half Cavalier and then a half a mix of Bichon Poodle. So her dad was a Cavalier. Her mom was a Bichon Poodle mix.
Whoa. Okay.
No, it's way too fancy. She is not that fancy. Trust.
She's super adorable. Does she steal socks?
She used to when she was a tiny little pup. She used to run around with our socks or flip-flops.
Oh, my God.
She loved
so
to take
cute.
Flip-flops. Yeah.
So we asked this question on our Facebook page, and we got some really interesting answers. Erin said that her old cat, James, love the name, by the way, would steal pens and pencils right out of your hand and then would steal them from drawers when they weren't home. So Erin would accuse her son of taking all the pens that she just bought, and he would swear up and down that he didn't take them.
Uh-huh.
And then one day when they were rearranging the living room, they moved the entertainment center and found over 150 pens and pencils.
God.
That is
a klepto of the first order.
Totally. Now, this is funny because when I was growing up, my sister had a ferret named Ozzy.
Ozzy the ferret.
Ozzy the ferret, and I was in high school. My dad had his boss coming over. Now, this ferret, I should mention, the ferret used to just take anything, keys, and then run across the room, go under the couch, and had a pile of things that he stole. And one day, I am talking to my dad. His boss comes over, and as his boss is standing at the door to our kitchen, Ozzy starts running across the kitchen with a giant maxi pad in his mouth.
Oh, no.
And I was like,
you don't
mortified.
Want that.
No. And I was like, well, luckily it was pulled out of a box.
Well,
not the garbage.
Thank you out of a person.
I was so mortified because, of course, I'm like 14 years old and I'm just like, oh, God, this is so embarrassing.
Oh, that would be so embarrassing. That's like you've heard other. We've also heard stories of dogs running off with other items, have we not? You know what I mean?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Personal items.
Mm-hmm. You got it.
Yep.
I know. Andrea says her new puppy keeps going into the closet and stealing her UGG house slippers.
Oh, my God, that's hilarious.
He's just a little puppy running around with big fluffy slipper in his mouth.
I think all dogs start all dogs start at the same level. Like they're all stealers, thieves, and chewers, right? And then I don't know when it is, but at some point in their youthful development, some dogs will continue to be that way, and then some dogs just grow out of it. It seems like
I think it's also how they're trained, and also what breed they are.
Oh, sure, because I bet there are certain breeds that are like very shifty.
Right. And I think those would be the hunting and retrieving dogs would probably more prone because it's in their...
Yeah.
We do have a call coming in.
Oh, cool.
Kate is on the line. Let's go to the phone.
Hi, Kate.
Morning, Kate.
I just turned you on and started listening to you on the dog walker, and we're walking along, and I listen to you every single day.
Thank you.
I have a funny story. Okay. So this is an honest God truth. Years ago when my children were little, we always had little critters besides dogs and cats, and we had a hamster named Ralph. And the children were little, and my son had a very small bedroom, and it was kind of messy a lot. And one day, Ralph went missing. I thought he went under the sink and found some little hole and left. Several months later, maybe 3-4 months later, I'm cleaning out my son's closet, and in that closet lived Ralph. He had taken this and shredded it and put it in my son's shoe. We had the small dog, and he had a whole pile of dog food in there, and then at night he would go drink water from the dog's dish. And this is no lie. It's the funniest story ever.
Oh, my God. That's so adorable.
Yeah, this is a true story. I mean, I tell people, and they go, yeah, right. But it really happened. So
that is so adorable, and how happy the whole family must have been.
Oh, my God. Yeah, my kids were little, and when they finally realized Ralph was still around, we didn't know what happened to him, and there he was.
Oh, my God. That is so cute.
Yeah.
See, it's just in their nature. Thank you for sharing that.
Absolutely. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Yeah, no,
they'll
find their way.
They'll find. They always do. Oh, my God. There's so many great stories that we're not going to be able to get to. But if you're interested or you have a story you want to share, go to our Facebook page for sure. What were you going to say, Brian?
Do you have a puppy thief?
I don't. I really don't. The one thing he did do when I first got this guy was he unwrapped a present that was like this soft lunchbox, and inside was chocolate-covered raisins.
Ooh.
Bad mix.
Bad
so he
move.
Ate the entire thing.
Oh.
I had to bring him to the emergency vet. So now I doggy-proof my house just to make sure I don't have stuff laying around. Anyway, when we come back, it's Throwback Thursday music trivia. Are you ready, Brad? You're
I am so excited. I have the questions in hand.
Ooh.
Are they questions? Yeah, they're questions.
They're questions. Let's see if I could win today. Coming up next. Welcome back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. I lied. Steve had to leave early. So in his place is the lovely and talented Bradley Trainer. Hi.
Hi.
Thanks for being here. This is going to be very exciting because you are going to host Throwback Thursday Music Trivia. You ready?
I'm so excited.
Let's rewind, shall we? Shall we?
Donna and Steve present Throwback Thursday.
We need to go back in time.
We gotta go old school.
Any questions about the old days?
Why, yes, there are. It's time for Steve Patterson to quiz longtime radio disc jockey Donna Valentine on old school tunes.
Well, this just sounds like a blast to me.
Steve, why don't you throw it back, huh?
All right, I'm going to throw some stuff back in time. I don't know. I'm not a music person, so I'm very curious to see how well we do this together, Donna.
Okay, me too.
All right. Are you ready?
Okay, we're ready.
Dateline, 1964.
Oh, boy.
This group recorded Baby Love. Written and produced by Motown's main production team, Holland Dozier Holland. The song went on to be the group's first UK number one and second US chart topper. It was also their second of five songs in a row to go to number one in the United States. Name the group.
Okay, my landline's ringing. I think this is Diana Ross, but I gotta really think about the group she was in. Baby love, my baby love.
You have to
love.
Think about the group?
Yeah, because Diana Ross was in the group.
What?
It's a type of pizza that has everything on it.
Thank you, Rob. It is a type of pizza that has everything on it.
Are you being intentionally obtuse right now, woman? Like, I don't know you. You don't know?
Okay. But you know. But I know it's Diana Ross's group, right?
No.
Hey, you know what? Sometimes you have brain farts. Sue me,
you're
Susie.
Not allowed.
As a gay get all
person,
the time
I'm
in the
offended.
World. Okay, just
okay,
give
so
me a second.
How about I give you a hint?
Okay. Okay.
I thought that was going to be obvious.
Apparently, your hint was not obvious, Rob.
It's a kind of pizza with everything on it.
Pizza with every... Yeah, what do you call that? With the pepperonis and the green peepers and...
You call it...
Sausage
everything.
And onions.
Not an everything
the everything pizza.
Pizza. How about...
I got Diana Ross, so I know I'm on the right. Diana Ross and the
Okay, how about this? It has two syllables. One is okay, what I'm going to do to you in a court of law for not knowing this answer correctly.
Sue me.
Yes! Yes! And then
sue me.
And then when a baby arrives earlier than expected.
Oh, that's good.
Pre.
Yeah. Yes!
Sue the Supreme.
Yeah!
Woo, my baby love. All right. I don't need to be, like, chastised.
Yes, you do.
During the game. I need help.
Woman.
Oh. Diana Ross and the Supremes. Okay. Oh, that's called a Supreme, huh?
What do you call it?
I don't know. The garbage truck pizza?
Is that what they call it in New Jersey?
I don't want to talk about it.
Maybe you should
anymore.
Read, dig out one of those old Reader's Digests.
Oh, how dare you? Reader's Digest is a fine magazine.
It is. We poked
a good
fun
publication.
At your collection, which delightfully is in. Is that in a bedroom? Where is that?
It's in my bedroom here.
Okay. All right. So anyway. When you're not doing something else, like answering these questions, you can go back to your Reader's Digest. Are you ready for another one?
Yes.
All right. Dateline, 1980.
Ooh.
Four masked robbers broke into this singer's New York house and proceeded to steal hi-fi equipment and paintings after tying the musician up. It was reported that one of the intruders had been humming his hit, I Saw the Light. Name the singer. Four masked robbers, singer's New York house. That's not Ace of Base, I Saw the Sign.
Oh. That's what I was doing. Oh my gosh.
Boy.
I Saw the Light. I'm going to need
If you don't
hint.
Know the Supremes, I don't know how you're going to get this, but we'll try to hint this, hint
Rude.
This audio.
Rude. Okay. Four robbers, New York. The year was 1980. Is this a rock person or a pop person?
Hey, Rob, can you help? Do you know this guy?
I think he's actually would be Noah. Known. He would be known in both genres. I think he was... no, different guy. Not going to give you that clue. I'll think of another one, maybe.
Okay. How about I know, Donna, he's an American multi-instrumentalist.
Ooh, an American multi-instrumentalist. Okay, so let me think of people. Prince would have been a multi, but he didn't live in New York City.
His name is
as
not
far
Prince.
As I know.
That is correct.
Okay, so it's,
what if I told you that in... let's see, he got frequent airtime on classic rock stations and the 1983 single Bang the Drum All Day.
Okay, this is T-Rex? No, T-Rex is the band.
That's Bang a Gong. Get it on. What is that? God, between the two of us, we are trash.
Do you remember the song Hello, It's Me?
No.
Oh,
this is 1980.
Okay,
I should know
so
this
So first
stuff.
Name is... let's see.
Sounds like...
Married to... Well, the first name, also the name of the now ex-husband of Sarah Palin.
I don't know who that is.
What?
I didn't know she was married to a dude.
Rhymes?
Oh, sorry. I was thinking Sarah Paulson.
I was like, what did you think? She was a lesbian? Wrong Sarah.
Come on, you can do better than Sarah Palin.
Her ex-husband, do you remember what his name was?
Bob.
No.
Bob.
What were you going to say, Rob?
His first name rhymes with Rod.
Oh, there you go.
Oh, okay. Rod.
Mm-hmm. Rhymes with Rod.
Wait, what did you say, Donna?
Dodd.
No. A little aspirate Pod. The D on that Dodd.
Dodd. Dobie. Just...
It's the letter after S in the alphabet.
Todd. Oh, God, it's Todd Rundgren.
Yes! Yes! Oh my God! How did you know that?
Because you said Todd. I mean, you gave me the Todd. See, I just need a little hint.
You literally got all the way from not knowing Todd to Todd Rundgren. Good for you.
Thank you. See,
you're
it's fun. Okay.
Far smarter than I would have been. I was like, I don't know how I'm going to give you a hint on Rundgren.
Do you know who Todd Rundgren
is? I have zero idea. I told you I was horrible.
All right. Yeah, but then you chastised me over Diana Ross, which I think is
I know, but I mean, that is
just
shameful.
All right.
Okay. You want to do another
Dateline.
One?
Yes.
Dateline 2002.
Okay, I'm not good in the 2000s because I was living in the country world of music.
That explains a lot. Okay, this singer pleaded guilty to threatening drinkers at the Prince of Wales pub in London in January of this year. The former 1980s pop star had turned to the bar with a starting pistol after being... What's a starting pistol?
I don't know.
After being refused entry, he had also thrown a car alternator through the window of the pub. Name the singer.
Okay, so 2002, the singer was found guilty for threatening these people at the pub?
At the Prince of Wales pub in London, and that was January of 2002. After being refused entry, I don't know why he was refused... You would totally know this person. I feel like you were probably a fan. Not in the early 2000s, though.
Is it a rocker?
I am a horrible genre knowledge person. I don't know that I would call him, I guess, a rocker.
This is more of like his big hit was more
punk?
Poppy.
Or pop?
Poppy. Yeah.
Yeah, this story does not ring a bell, so I'm going to need a hint, Bob.
So
maybe we should just say the name of the song.
Yes.
That he's known for. And see if you know that.
Okay.
Do you remember the song Goody Two Shoes?
Yes. Adam Ant Final.
Yeah! Ooh.
Thank you. Woo! Such a great song. I was a huge Adam Ant fan. I used to paint my face like Adam Ant and go to the roller rink.
Did you really?
Yep.
See, I kind of felt like that was your era, maybe? Right?
Yeah, the 80s.
Yeah.
The 80s.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. All right, do we have one more?
We do. Dateline.
Yes.
2014.
Oh, boy.
Rude, the debut single by this Canadian band, was at number one on the U.S. singles chart. It became the ninth best-selling song of 2014, with global sales of 8.6 million units. And it won the Juno Award for Single of the Year.
Okay, so it's a Canadian person or band, did you say?
Take a listen.
Ooh.
It's a band to the song as it plays here.
Why you gotta be so rude?
Okay.
Don't you know I'm human too?
Yeah, and then the whole marry me.
Be so rude?
All right, D-Val's gonna need a hint.
Marry me.
how about this?
I know it's a Canadian band now, because I think you have to be Canadian to pick up a Juno Award. Thank you.
Yep, Canadians. And the name of the band, it's one word with an exclamation point, and it involves something that our good friend David Copperfield would know a thing or two about.
Okay, so he, there's Abracadabra.
No, that's
there's
early.
Magic.
Yes!
Magic.
You got
Magic
it!
Final, yeah! Woo! How does she do it? I don't know, guys. I don't know how I do it.
I mean, you literally are undefeated.
I know.
I was worried.
Oh, Brad.
Especially with the Supremes. My Lord.
I was going to get it if you stopped harassing me.
Oh,
anyway,
oh,
thank you.
Fault.
You did such a great job, both
thank
of you guys.
You, thank you.
Thank you.
It was really Rob,
undefeated.
Man.
Straight.
Way to go, Donna.
Thank you. Have these guys had another hit or no?
Not that I know of.
Magic? I didn't even know.
Yeah, I would have never gotten that. But I do like the song. It's poppy. Anyway, Brad, when we come back, can we find out what you are watching these days?
Sure.
Would you mind sharing?
Absolutely.
Oh, my God. And then I'll tell you what I'm watching.
Okay.
I'll show you mine if you show me yours.
Okay.
Coming up next on My Talk 107.1. Okay, we're back. Donna and Steve on My Talk 107.1, Everything Entertainment. Steve had to leave a little bit early, so we get to hang out with Bradley Traynor.
Hey.
Hi. From the Colleen and Bradley Show, they are coming up next. We appreciate you working extra.
Of course, for you, the world.
Oh, thank you, Bradley. What are you watching these days? You know, people get to hear all the time what Steve and I are watching. It would be fun to hear what you're up to.
Well, most recently, I watched that four-part series on Lifetime called Surviving Jeffrey Epstein. Have you seen it?
Oh, yeah. Really good. Is there, am I missing, was there recently a last part to that?
Well, it was just two nights. So there was, the first night it was two parts, second night two parts, 2-hour-long episodes each, so 4 hours total. And it should be all available now on Lifetime or wherever you stream your
TV. So you watched it on Lifetime. I watched the Jeffrey Epstein one. It's called like Filthy Rich.
Yeah, you're talking about the Netflix series. So the Lifetime one just came out Sunday, and then the second part premiered on Monday.
Okay, I definitely, did you learn anything new in this documentary?
Yeah, no, I'm glad you asked, because, and we've told our audience this too, if you watched Filthy Rich, it is absolutely worth your time to watch the 4 hours of Lifetime's special, because you do get some, like, you'll be like, oh, I know her, and sadly I know her story and it's tragic, but you will also get additional layers of people's stories, but you will also meet new people, new victims of Jeffrey Epstein, because this episode I think really contextualizes the, like, just vast number of victims that there were, and it gives you maybe a deeper look into some of the psychology around the victims, but then also some psychology about Jeffrey Epstein's you know, just maniacal
crazy tendencies and behaviors,
whatever you want to call it.
Oh, interesting. Evil. Okay, I'm gonna put that definitely an evil human being.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's not a word I like to use very often, obviously, but that's like that. If evil means anything when applied to people, you will see it next to Jeffrey Epstein's name and feel totally fine with it.
And for people who aren't super, I mean, I don't know how you cannot be real familiar with the story, because, I mean, this has just been, maybe you didn't dig as deep as we did. But basically, he had this pyramid scheme of victims.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be a good way to describe it? And
I think
they do actually describe it in that way, where one girl would come in, give him a quote-unquote massage. He'd give her so much money and say, hey, for every girl that you bring back to me, I'll pay her, but I'll also give you money, and so on and so forth. It's just so disturbing.
Yeah, there's
but
really...
I think no, go ahead. I was just going to say, I think it's important for people to be aware that this exists in the world
much. And I've made that point multiple times. This story is really so much more than just Jeffrey Epstein. He's dead now, so you could think, okay, problem solved. Nope. Because what Jeffrey Epstein did is not unique to him. The victims are unique to him, and the story is unique to him, and that's why it's been so fascinating to watch, because it's a real story happening to real people. But beyond that, he just used what is available to him in the way of resources, power, you know, money, political power, business power.
All of it.
Was able to marshal all those things to get what he wanted, which was, you know, young women. And I don't for a second believe that he was unique in that. So it shows us how people are able to do this. And I think that should be a lesson to keep our eyes peeled for other people that are doing this. I mean, you really do see, like, on a, like, even though you would think, I can't relate to this story because it's Jeffrey Epstein, you could relate to the women in the story.
Right.
And I bet we all have come across women who have been victimized in this way.
Absolutely.
And we don't even realize it. So now we're getting this roadmap, and I think it'll help everybody who pays attention be more aware of what sex trafficking, right? It's not like a James Bond
No.
sort of plot.
It's happening, you know, and as a matter of fact, it's, I think Minnesota or Minneapolis has one of the highest rates of sex trafficking in the country.
Wow, I did not know that.
And I only found it out because I went to an event, you know, it was like fundraising event where detectives and police officers spoke about it.
Okay.
And how it's happening right under our nose. Yeah. And that's why I'm kind of like, I just see it as an educational experience to just know that this is out there, and to, for them to like refer to these women as prostitutes in the beginning, it was like, no, these are children. These are young girls. How are they prostitutes? They're being manipulated.
Exactly.
They didn't understand.
And don't you feel like now we're in a time where we're more willing to see things for what they are beyond the stereotype? Like, you know, we used to just think of women who, you would think the women who said, Jeffrey Epstein had his way with me, he sexually assaulted me, he raped me. Whatever the account was, maybe 10, 15, 20 years ago, we'd be like, oh, those women just want attention. Those women are just trying to get his money because he's got a lot of money. And when people have a lot of money and power, they, you know, want a piece of it. And so Jeffrey Epstein would be centered in that story, not the women. And I think the difference in 2020 is that these women's stories are centered, and we can all understand, thanks to the knowledge that they've shared with us, how you could get caught up in this and have absolutely no intention of doing so, even if you made bad choices along the way in your own life that were totally unrelated to this story.
Yes. One thing has nothing to do with the fact, you know, that they were abused by this man. Kind of like the, oh gosh, R. Kelly. I mean, same exact thing,
you know,
just the taking advantage. But also, I think people are listening more to these women, not just the young girls, but adults who maybe were young. And have you checked out On the Record?
No.
With, you probably need a break from the darkness, but On the Record is, I believe this is on HBO, and it's a documentary of one woman, her name is Drew Dixon, to bring Russell Simmons to justice.
Oh,
and
wow.
She tells her story, and she also, it poses like these bigger questions about the treatment of Black women by the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
It's just very interesting from a cultural standpoint. So she worked for Def Jam Records, and she was raped by Russell Simmons, according to her account. And she kind of talks about how you don't come forward because there's also a level in Black culture where, because men are already getting the crappy end of the criminal justice system, that's just adding to them. So there's almost like an unspoken rule where you don't throw guys under the bus in your quote unquote community kind of thing.
Like, people don't feel grateful, or people don't feel right coming forward for fear that they're going to lead to, or they're going to, in some
you're
way
putting yourself
additional
before the race.
Yeah
It's just a very, very interesting story, and again, I mean, maybe this will bring Russell Simmons, you know, to justice at some
point. And I think, again,
there's many stories.
And I think, again, you know, everybody wants to, I think in this moment people are like, there is a certain segment of the population who thinks like, this Me Too movement, it's out of control, everybody's afraid. But then I think if you're maybe not so hair on fire about it, and you sit back and pay attention, and we've talked a lot about these stories on our station, and I'm sure you would feel a similar way. It's like we're all just being educated. You know, it's like so many things going on in the world. If you just stop and listen to what people are saying, you hear a lot of the same things. So I don't feel like, I feel like I'm grateful for that, because it's shifted the way that I look at these stories, and where we might have just written something off as tabloid. Or like people like Rose McGowan, I think about, like, it was easy to write her off as, quote, crazy.
Right.
Or just, you know, a little off, and she has a thing against men. But as people added their voice to hers and other women who were also looked at as, you know, like trying to get attention, which, like, I still don't understand what woman, person
wants to tell that story.
It's like, I'm going to tell a story about being raped that didn't happen just so I can get attention. There are so many better ways.
But, exactly.
Yeah. But again, it's just, it's now we're in such a much better place to receive all of these stories. And I'm grateful for that, because that means these women maybe get a little bit of healing in the process.
100% could not agree with you more. Didn't mean to go super dark at the end of the show. But no, thank you for that. And I'm going to make sure I check out that documentary on Lifetime.
And I'm going to watch On the Record. Thank you for the recommendation.
Yes, you're welcome. What do you have coming up on your actual show today, the Colleen and Bradley Show?
Thank you. Well, we're not going to get serious the first segment. We're going to talk about Britney Spears' post was removed from her account. And it means something's going on. And we'll tell you what
it is. Does that mean you're going to get the goober smoochers or whatever?
Yes, the goober smoochers, just for you. While you go have a supreme pizza.